after just one look, one glance, one observation, a man by the name of Isaiah suffered from spiritual, emotional, physical, and most profoundly, moral shock. After one observation, one look, the depth of his depravity and the depth of his sinfulness rocked the very foundations of his soul. His heart was pounding, his hands were trembling, and sweat was pouring down. He was traumatized by what he saw. In fact, he was so traumatized by what he saw that he thought that his life was over, that he was ruined, and that he had come undone. What was it that Isaiah saw? What caused this traumatic experience? What did he look like? What was he looking at? What did he observe? Well, I'll let you hear what Isaiah has to say because he wrote it down for us. And in fact, we find it in our Bibles. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, in the first 5 verses. He reveals to us exactly what happened to him and what he saw. Let's take a look at it together. Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 5. He writes, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling one to another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" What was it that Isaiah saw? What was it that literally blew him away? It was the holiness of God. Isaiah was overwhelmed by God's holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. You know, most scholars will tell you and believe that the most important and supreme attribute of God is his holiness. In fact, all the other attributes are filtered through his holiness. His holiness is the supreme attribute, and some call it the attribute of attributes. And we notice that in heaven, the angelic beings whom Isaiah saw and later John in Revelation chapter 4 saw, when they both got a vision of what heaven was like, they see these angelic beings and they say over and over again, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." They don't say eternal, eternal, eternal. They're not crying out faithful, faithful, faithful. And they're not even crying out loving, loving, loving as you might expect. Instead, the angelic beings in the throne room of God continue to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." You know, it's repeated 3 times for emphasis purposes, but there are some scholars who believe that this 3 repeated word of holy is a reference to the Holy Trinity. Holy is God the Father. Holy is God the Son. Holy is the Spirit. 3 united in one. God is holy. What do we mean when we say and we use the word holy? Well, the word holy literally means to set apart, a cut above the rest, different from all else, or distinct. The verb form of the word holy means to separate from. We use phrases like nothing quite like it, or there's no comparison. When we say that something is holy, this is what we mean. For example, I'm holding in my hand, what is this called? The Holy Bible. Well, what does that mean? When the word holy is connected to Bible, it means there's no book that compares with the Bible. It is a cut above the rest. There's nothing quite like the Bible. It is distinct from all other books because it is what? The Holy Bible. And we say that God, in His essence, in His being, is holy. What does it mean that God is holy? Number one, it means that God is distinct from all creation, meaning God's transcendence is above and over all of creation, as described for us in Psalm 99, 1 through 3. God is the Creator. We are part of the creation, and He is completely separated and distinct from the creation. When we say that God is holy, we mean that God is absolutely separated from sin and evil. God's ethical purity and perfection are seen in the word holy. We see that in Psalm 99, verses 4 through 5. So when we say God is holy, God is distinct from all creation, and God is absolutely separated from sin and evil. What does holy mean? Well, holiness embraces moral purity and perfection. Therefore, when we say that God is holy, we're saying that He is absolutely morally pure, and He is absolutely perfect. That's why some of the synonyms of the word holy are this: perfect, pure, faultless, immaculate. And so when we say God is holy, what we're saying is God is perfect. God is pure. God is faultless. God is immaculate. Why? Because God, in His essence, in His being, God is holy. And all of God's attributes flow through His holiness. So when we say that God is loving, what we're really saying is that God is perfectly loving because God is holy. God is perfectly merciful because God is holy. God is perfectly faithful because God is holy. God is perfectly wise because God is holy. God is perfectly gracious because God is holy. God is perfectly forgiving because God is holy. God is perfectly just because God is holy. God in His essence and His being, God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah, as we return back to him, he was up in the throne room of God and he was overwhelmed by God's holiness. Well, you see that we've landed in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is in the Old Testament and it's a book of prophecy. He makes predictions about the future. The author is none other than Isaiah. He's a prophet or a spokesman for God. He's known as the Messianic prophet because more than any others, he keeps declaring and predicting that one day God is going to send a deliverer. God is going to send an anointed one, a savior into the world. And he's one of the major prophets. You see his ministry dates when he ministered here on earth. And the purpose of Isaiah's prophecy in the Old Testament is to expose the sin of God's people and call them back to God with a promise of restoration. And in Isaiah, the focus is simply this: it revealed our need for a Savior and directs us to Messiah. And even though he wrote about 700 years before Jesus was born, he makes these predictions. They all come true and are all fulfilled in Jesus 700 years later. And Isaiah's prophecy is quoted more than any other in the New Testament. Here's the background of where we've landed. We've landed in Isaiah chapter 6. It's known as Isaiah's commission. God commissioned him to go into the ministry and be a prophet. You notice in the first verse it says it was in the year that King Uzziah died. He was the king of Judah from 792 to 740 BC. He had a long and prosperous reign, but pride led him to be unfaithful to the Lord. He went into the temple of the Lord and tried to perform the duties of a priest, only reserved for the descendants of Aaron. And because he went and he did that, he was afflicted by leprosy, and he later died. This was a time of uncertainty because, unfortunately, the people were putting their faith and trust in a man, in a king, in King Uzziah. And God had a message to give to the people at that time. And that's what Isaiah's vision is all about. It's revealing God's holiness, but there's a message that he's giving to God's people that we will look at together in Isaiah chapter 6. Well, let's go ahead and transition now into a teaching time. We're going to go through these verses verse by verse and see what God has to say to us. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of the robe filled the temple. He says, I saw. This was a vision and revelation, but this was something that Isaiah experienced. He experienced this in a vision and a revelation from God. And he saw the Lord, and the word for Lord there means sovereign, master, and king. He sees the sovereign, master, and king on a throne. And he's seated high and exalted, that God is seen as the sovereign ruler over the universe. And when he says the train of the robe filled the temple, he's referring to God's majesty. That this is what Isaiah saw when he looked and he got this revelation and this vision from God. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6, above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. We don't know a lot about these seraphs. What the word actually means is burning ones or flames. These are angelic beings. These are angelic beings in the throne room of God, and they're doing the Lord's work, and they're involved with purification ministry. It says that they covered their faces and their feet. That's because the magnitude and the magnificence of God's glory is too mighty and incredible to look upon. And it was also as an act of humility as they're crying out to the Lord and declaring his holiness. And it says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, that these seraphs, they were calling one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. That these seraphs continually burst forth in recognition and praise of God's holiness. And they also declare that the whole earth is full of his glory, that God's glory is displayed throughout his creation, that the world is a wide theater of the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. The fiery, powerful presence of God was clearly seen and clearly experienced by Isaiah as he was in this vision, as he was receiving this revelation from God. And this is the message that God was giving. It's a powerful message to God's people. Remember, it was the year that King Uzziah died, a time of uncertainty. They had placed their trust in a human king, and God came to them through this powerful revelation from Isaiah with this message. God was saying, I am your true master and king. I'm absolutely perfect, and I'm all powerful because I am holy. God's message to God's people at that time. And here we have the response of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When he says, woe to me, he's actually calling a curse down upon himself. When he says, I am ruined, the word ruined means undone or destroyed. Why does he feel that way? Well, he's in the presence of the holy, holy, holy God, and he realizes how sinful he is, that he has come from a sinful race, and he himself is sinful, and he sees the comparison between himself and a holy God. And when he says, my eyes have seen, he's overwhelmed by God's holiness. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then in 6 and 7, the verses go on to say, then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. This simply is symbolic assurance, showing demonstrably that Isaiah is forgiven of his sins. He is forgiven by the holy God. And then it says that his sins are atoned for. Certainly this is foreknowledge of Jesus, because Isaiah is the one who is preaching and teaching and the one who is proclaiming Messiah is coming. And it's all fulfilled in Jesus, the one who truly atoned for the sins of the people by his death on a cross. Isaiah 6, 6 and 7. And then in verse 8 and 9, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. The Lord speaks to Isaiah here in chapter 6, verse 8. And these are rhetorical questions he's asking of Isaiah. And Isaiah immediately responds and says, here I am, send me. He's eager to serve the Lord because he's been forgiven by the Lord. And then God goes and speaks and says, go and tell this people. God now sends Isaiah out to serve as God's spokesman. Isaiah has now been officially commissioned by God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah responded to the holiness of God with a broken and contrite heart. He forsook sin, he received forgiveness, and then was sent out to serve. What will your response be to the holiness of God? You know, at this point in the message, you may be wondering, what difference does the holiness of God make in my own personal life? Is the holiness of God relevant? And I believe that it is. It's the supreme attribute of God. It's the attribute of attributes. And it has a profound makes a profound difference in your life. Consider these five points of application. Number one, be in awe and wonder of our holy God. I believe once you begin to understand the holiness of God, that it should literally blow you away to see that we serve a holy God. And in your quiet time, in your prayer time, in our corporate worship time together, we should be in awe and wonder of our holy God. Number two, God's holiness exposes our sinfulness and should lead us to repentance. I believe we should have a similar response that Isaiah had when he saw the holiness of God. He realized how sinful he was, and he forsook his sin. And we should have the same experience when we compare ourselves to the holiness of God. And how is the holiness of God relevant for our lives? Well, number three, God's actions are always perfect. Because God in his essence and in his character is holy, God never makes mistakes. God never messes up. God always does what is right and what is good because he is holy. Now, at times, things don't go our way in life. But it has nothing to do with God. God is not the one that makes the mistakes because God is holy. We must always remember that his actions are always perfect because God is holy. And then number four, Jesus Christ is God's manifestation of his holiness. In Acts chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus is identified as the holy and righteous one. We know what holiness looks like because of Jesus Christ. Holiness came down to earth to be a part of the creation in the man Jesus of Nazareth, fully God and fully human. We know the holiness of God because of Jesus Christ. As the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, meaning Jesus. God made Jesus who had no sin. He was the sinless, perfect Lamb of God. the holy, righteous Savior. And He became sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Then finally, what relevance does holiness have in our lives? Christians have been made holy. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:10. That we, referring to Christians, have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The key word there is Christians have been made holy. We're not holy because we're better than anyone else. We're not holy because we're perfect. We're not holy because we stand out and we're good people. The holiness is something we are made. And I wanted to read to you my notes that I wrote down about the fact that Christians have been made holy. Holiness is credited or given to those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Because Jesus paid the penalty we deserve for our sins, thus removing our guilt and shame. And as a result of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven of all of our sins. And not only that, we're cleansed and purified on the inside by the blood of Jesus. And we were bought by Christ. We now belong to Christ. And because of that, we are made holy. So that when God takes a look at a Christian, He sees him or her through the cross of Christ as a forgiven saint, as holy ones. Christians have been made holy because of the body of Jesus Christ that died for us on the cross.